welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, so, coming back to what I mentioned earlier, what next? This is for everyone. What next for us all? What next for us in this season of time that we're moving in? We're so blessed just to see the church growing weekly. You know, there's just new people coming into that experience of knowing Jesus for the first time, their Lord and Savior, and lives being changed. What does that mean? How does your life change? Just because you get baptized, does anything happen? Yes, is the answer. And that's what we're going to look at. But look, last week I spoke about Peter standing up before the big crowd and saying, repent and be baptized. Do you remember? And then loads of extra people decided, yes, I'm honoring God's word. I'm doing what Jesus said. I'm going to get baptized. And even on that morning, a number of people realized this is what I need to do. And that's exciting because that's what faith is. Faith says, I've heard the word. I'm going to do it. All right. There is no other form of faith. Faith always means this result. You can't just believe and live in some sort of holy huddle. Faith changes things. Faith makes you do something. All right. This idea that you can just be esoterically sitting on top of a pole, that's not faith. That's escaping. That's escapism. Faith sends you into the world. Jesus said, I'm going to send you into the world. All right. The church is not of the world, but it goes into it. We're not called to come to church, we're called to be the church, because the church is a life-changing, a world-changing force from God to bring something better. All right? And it's our job to show that there is a different way, there is something better, that there is an opportunity to live a different way. We're not there to thrust it down people's throats, we're not there to twist people's arms, but we are there to be the light, we are there to be the salt, we are there to give the opportunity. So, at the end of that part that I was reading last week, the last verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who responded to this message were baptized, about 3,000 people on a single day. Now, it's good to keep that 3,000 in mind. Because when 3,000 people get added to a group of what was 120, and that was a new group, with 12 leaders, it must mean that there was an awful lot going on that was just believers doing the stuff rather than waiting for somebody to organize it. And I think this is one of the keys to seeing church happen and church change society and church make a difference. It's people, us, hearing from God and getting on with it, not waiting for there to be a meeting. All right, we need meetings. If we didn't have meetings, there wouldn't. Meetings like this are to inspire us corporately, to take us forward together. But if all we have is meetings, it'd be boring if nothing else. All right, we're not called to have meetings. We're called to change the world. We're called to bring something good into the world. I hate meetings. If they just have meetings and meetings and meetings, I despair of meetings. I just want meetings with God. Yeah? This is why, at the moment, we just have two main meetings a week, Sundays and Thursday nights, because you could fill the diary with lots of things. But there was 3,000 people, and they didn't all go around Peter's house after tea. They couldn't even have gone, they couldn't have even divided them all up by 12 apostles, and had, you know, a certain number each. Do the math, I can't. But, because it was still too many. So, there must have been instant leaders on that day. And this is the great truth. You are leaders. You are leaders of people because Jesus says to every single Christian, go and make disciples. So everyone is. You might not feel capable, but that's just about true of everyone that gets called by God. You might say, I've got this issue, there's that going wrong, there's this not happening. You know, Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Peter was a betrayer. God can use anyone because it's not about you, it's about him. It's about what he does in us. So what next is everyone is activated. So let's look on at what actually happened after that day of 3,000 being added. Because it must be a pattern for the way ahead. God's very wise. God's very intelligent. So if there's something that happened after that, it must be a pattern for the way ahead. He wouldn't just do something, oh, that's just for then, and then later on they'll discover bishops. You know? He would put something in place. I'm not saying that you should never have bishops, but they weren't here. All right? You need structure and stuff, but this is still foundational to what the church must be, because it was foundational to what the church was going to be there and then. So, moving on from that verse, 41, is verse 42. And here's the first thing. It says, they then. They then. After the baptisms, they did this. They didn't sit around or carry on with their lives as normal. There was a response. I've been baptized. I'm filled with the Spirit. I've been cleansed from all my sins. I'm a new Christian. I'm born again. I can't live my life the same old way. And it doesn't matter whether you were baptized last week or 50 years ago, this still applies. What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do the day after? What's happening on Wednesday that's going to be different because I am washed clean by the Spirit and I'm full of the Holy Spirit and I've got the power of God going in me? Because if we aren't thinking like that, we won't see anything happening. We'll just get on and drift with life. But we're not supposed to be driftwood. We're supposed to be this driftwood made into a boat and traveling with purpose. So they then, and it said they devoted themselves to being taught God's word. So here's the first one. Sundays is important. Sundays is really, really important. This is such an important time. If you can possibly not miss it, don't miss it. This is a key time in all our lives. It's the one time that for a short while, because we'll be too large one day, that we can all gather together in one place. So let's make the most of it right now. But it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I can't imagine that they had meetings with all 3,000 of them, so they must have had things going on all the time. But one thing they did was devote themselves to what the apostles were teaching. So how do we do that? Well, we listen to the teaching that's happening now under the apostolic anointing. And the apostolic anointing is upon us. So if somebody is standing up here, they are under an apostolic anointing, so we listen. That's a bit plain and obvious, really, isn't it? But this is what they then did. But they didn't just do it, they devoted themselves to it. Now, that's a key word. I wrote it down. I'm trying to read my Greek now. Proskartirouentes, something like that. But it literally means to be attending someone or standing by their side. All right, it's really getting alongside someone. So it's not remaining at a distance, evaluating what they're saying and developing your own opinions. It's getting alongside with what's being taught and becoming part of it. All right, it's serving that word. It's becoming part of that word. So they didn't just, I've got to get to church, it's Sunday. They were devoted to this. So it wasn't just that they were listening to the word once a week. They would have been listening to people teaching down there, but they were getting into the scriptures themselves. So it's things like where the Spirit studies, it's Bible studies, it's reading your Bible at home and taking hold of it for yourself. I mean, you can't just read it. There's got to be life coming out of it. If I say Wham, you probably think of a certain 1980s band, and some of you have probably got disastrous tunes going in your head already. But Wham is a good way to come to approach the scripture. Because when you read the word, it's got to go Wham into your life. It impacts your life. It influences your life. It changes your life. So what does, and Wham stands for the word. You've got to get into the word. You've got to read it. If you're not reading it, it's not feeding you. You can be devoted to the teaching here on Sunday, but that's not enough to make you healthy and well. You've got to get into it yourself. Because it's not just about hearing things from other people. It's about hearing from God directly. And when we're all working in the Holy Spirit, it all matches up. So you need the word. But if you just read and study the word, you'll dry up. You need life. You need the H. You need the Holy Spirit. It's the word and the Holy Spirit together. It brings life. So when you open up the word, you're saying, Holy Spirit, teach me from this. Because if you don't, you're going to find it really difficult to understand. You might go intellectual, and if you're going pure intellectual, you're going to miss the life that's there for you. And that's really important because the A stands for apply. When you read the word, it's not just for entertainment. It's not just, oh, I've got to read it for 10 minutes, otherwise I'm not a proper Christian. You're going to apply the scripture to your life. Read the scriptures and personalize them. So if it says they will go into the world, you think, oh, so I am going to go into the world. You've personalized it and you begin to apply it to your life. So you've got the word, you've got the Holy Spirit. You're going to take that so that you apply the Holy Spirit and the word to your life because you are called to a life of mission. Wham! Mission and ministry. You're called to serve. You're called. So applying the word is taking it on board. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. I take, you know, and it's claiming those promises. But it's still not going to make any difference, really, unless you do something about it. You go on mission. You do the mission work. You do the ministry. You take action. Because faith is action. It's word in action. There's no such thing as faith that doesn't produce any results. That's not faith. That's wishful thinking. All right. If you believe something, it changes the way you do it. So when you pick up the word, remember, wham, not the band. Word, Holy Spirit, apply, ministry or mission. Okay? It's a good little acronym to use. And if you use that every time you reach the word, your life will be dangerously changed. I promise you. It will be, wham, the word into your life. Wham! Wow, that scripture's changing me. Whatever you're doing, reading at home, where the Spirit, whatever. Don't do a Bible study to share opinions. You do Bible study to discover what God's saying. Bible study where everybody comes with their own opinion, that's disastrous. You're just going to end up arguing and going home unhappy. You come together to say, what's the word saying to us? You know, that's why it's so dangerous when you try and do a study on a specific subject. It's really so easy to manipulate scripture around to your opinion. The best way to be reading the Bible is to be reading a passage and going, wham, what's the Holy Spirit saying to me through this word? What am I going to apply to my life? What mission, what ministry does this call me to? Okay? So, let's move on, because we're not doing about Bible study, and we're running out of time already. But that's how important it is. It's there. It's the first line after the baptisms. They devoted themselves. They totally gave themselves. And it's the Greek continuous tense. It means they continuously did this. Not they did it and it was done. They continuously were devoting themselves to being taught the word by the apostles. The second bit it says, and share their lives with one another in love. I think that's really important that it's the second bit. This is why you cannot be a Christian all on your own. There's no such thing. There, the basic foundation of the church is devoted to the teaching of the leadership that you have and sharing lives with one another. The sharing lives with one another is just as important. If all you do is sit at home and read the Bible, you are not going to see the life-transforming effects unless you share your life with others, because that's the application of mission. You just think you're super cool and super wow and a really powerful Christian and write amazing revelation on the internet. But in reality, you're a tiny little baby, because unless you live out with other people, you're not going to discover how wrong you were. Because it's only when you try and live it out, you find, oh, actually, this is a bit creaky. Or this is a bit challenging. Now, when you're sitting at home, when it says prefer one another to yourself, that's great theory. You can rejoice in that. You can write books on that. Then you sit next to church to someone who's a bit smelly or whose opinion you don't like. It's like, I've got to prefer them. And you think, why has God put that person in my life? They are so irritating, because your life needs to change. Irritation is what makes us change. God will do it other ways, but so often it takes an obnoxious person before we really realize, actually, it's me that's the problem. So if you're just obedient to God, it's going to be a lot easier on you. You know, you'll discover that perhaps they aren't obnoxious, it's just your attitude. Or maybe they even are. It doesn't really matter. So, they're being taught God's word and they're sharing their lives with one another. But remember, there's 3,000. This is really important, because we get this falseness in churches where people say, we don't all know one another. They didn't know one another. It's there at the foundation. It doesn't mean there's a lack of love. It just means you're growing. Okay? It doesn't mean you cut yourself off in isolation and remain in your little clique. God forbid that should happen. We're always reaching out and making new friends and welcoming new people. Absolutely, we must. But we will never know everyone. And if we do know everyone, it's rather sad. It means we're too small. Because we want to grow so that we don't know everyone. Not a decision that I'm not going to get to know everybody, but it's just a realization that it's impossible. Some of the introverts like me might make the decision, oh good, I don't have to get to know everyone. I don't need to bother anymore. You know, I could hide inside that and think, no, I don't need to get to know, but that's rubbish. Not everybody is going to know me. Not even everybody is going to know the leadership team. Not everybody is going to have a pint at the pub with someone on the leadership. It's impossible. The apostles couldn't go for a nifty red wine down the local bar, or whatever they did, but they did drink red wine, with every single person of the 3,000 that just got saved. And a little bit later, it's 5,000. So it's even more. I mean, Peter would have been permanently drunk. You know, if he tried to get through 5,000 glasses of wine in a year, it's going to, and that's just one. That's not a fault. That's a reality. And it's a good one. But it's not something to hide in. So they're sharing lies with one another. That's really, really important. Because it's not leadership led. It's people led. Don't wait for someone to tell you to invite someone else for breakfast or for dinner or to go out somewhere. You do it. If you're thinking I haven't got many friends, make them. It's on us. There's so many people that sit back and think, oh, the church has got to serve me. I pray by the grace of God we will serve you, but you have to activate yourself. Jesus says, when you give, you will receive. So if you don't give in friendship, you won't have any. If you don't give love, you won't receive love. That's just the way it works. There are times when we're desperate and we're lying on the floor and we're going through tough stuff, when people come and when, you know, there's virtually nothing left in us to give. And people just come and love us and help us and serve us. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about normal times. Yeah? Sharing lives with one another in love. Really learning to prefer other people. Wow, if we did that, we would change the world. They were also committed to the breaking of bread. Now, when it says breaking of bread, it doesn't just mean communion. It meant they were eating together. It meant they were sharing meals. It's actually as biblical, in fact, probably more so, to share a meal with your Christian friends than to be here on a Sunday morning. If we want the church to grow, we need to have meals together. That's it. Well, that's really easy. We could do that. But if we want it to grow, that's what we've got to do. And yes, it's a great opportunity to break bread. This is why, I know people get cross with me sometimes, this is why I don't do breaking bread on Sunday mornings. It's not that you can't, and it's not that we haven't ever done. It's because the early principle was that everybody did it. I don't want to reinvent only the priest can bless the bread and the wine. It's not there. People did it in their homes, just the ordinary bods that had just got saved, that were thoroughly imperfect still in the natural, spiritually they were perfect, of course. But they were still living rather strange lives. Just read Corinthians, what those early Christians were up to. But they were breaking bread together, both around the meal table. That's a great way to do it. They had a bit of a problem in Corinth because people were coming so hungry, they were scoffing all the bread before they did communion, and it got a little bit disordered. But that's not a reason to ban the whole practice. It's just a reason to do it properly. So if you're together with friends, it's great. Should we just have communion before we eat, or after you eat, or whenever? Or even if you're just having a cup of coffee. You don't need wine, necessarily. If you haven't got wine handy, use some water or some fruit juice. And if you haven't got any bread, use a biscuit. It doesn't matter. It's Jesus used what was to hand. They were there on the table. It just makes me smile that he put wine, alcoholic wine, at the central thing of Christian faith, and people wonder whether Christians can drink alcohol. Jesus took the cup of wine and said, this is my blood shed for you. It's there, central. Don't get drunk. If you've got an issue with it, you don't. But it's there. Why do we make up so many rules? And it's informal. There were 3,000 people. There wasn't a Pastor David, just looking into the future. There wasn't a Pastor David. That was an accidental prophecy that's 100% accurate. Absolutely. It is. Pastor David isn't just looking over his list of 3,000 people and trying to allocate them to groups. They just need to go. They just need to meet with one another. They just need to get together with friends and invite some people they're not so friendly with so that the group's always growing. I mean, it's great. We've got life teams. That's brilliant, but there's all the informal stuff that goes on. And anyway, if you can only ever mix with your life team, you don't get to meet some other people. You know, if you think, I'd really like to have a meal with those people, ask them. Say, can we have a meal together? Would you like to come round for a meal? It can be a bit scary if you're not a good cook, and if you're not a good cook, just do something else. Go out for a cup of coffee. Go out for a meal together. Let's all go for Chinese. Yeah? Well, not all of us right now. Cam Sang might panic if we all walked in together. Are you booked? No. But they were committed to the breaking of bread, recalling, because this is what the actual part of breaking bread when we refer to communion is, recalling all that Christ had done for them. And when we're together, it's not just social, there should be the recall. Sometimes when we're together with, say, Brian and Shona, we say, oh, we've been talking all about church again. We should be. It's our life. It's not that that's work and we need to relax. We're sharing what Christ is doing. We talk about church because we're excited about it. We love what's going on. So it's good when we're together. Don't ever have a rule in your social group, but we mustn't talk about church. We're supposed to. We're supposed to be talking about it. We're supposed to be talking about what was exciting, what was good, and praising God for what's going on. Yeah? Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. And to praying together. But listen, there was 3,000 of them. Nobody organized the prayer meetings. They just did it. Just do it. Have prayer meetings. Four of you who want to pray together, just do it. Really, honest, yeah, you can. Just do it. If you get weird and wacky, we'll still love you. And because they were doing all this, they were telling stories, they were doing Bible study, they were praying together, they were having meals, they were doing breakfast. I mean, Jesus, when he's come back from the dead, what's one of the first things he does? He organizes a barbecue breakfast on the beach. He's thinking, at least about a worship service. We've devalued how important it is just to go to the park together, to the beach together, to go out together, to be at home together, to just be normal. Let's be normal. It is spiritual to go to the pub and have a drink with some of your friends. It's about being together. I'm not talking about getting drunk with friends, but having a time together. And inevitably, hopefully, if you're spiritual people, you will talk about Jesus and God, even in the pub. Maybe you'll meet a few people while you're there. And the conversation will spill out to them and they'll think, these are nice guys, these are nice ladies, this is a nice bunch. And then they'll be more interested in finding out what's going on. It's not second class, it's first class. It's what we're all called to. Let's not look down on those things. Let's not try and make them more spiritual by having a prayer breakfast. Let's just have breakfast and pray together. We have to religiousize everything. Well, let's stop. Let's just enjoy life praising God. And there was a sense of awe amongst them because of the miracles and wonderful works that God performed through the apostles. You see, as we do this stuff, the ordinary stuff, the extraordinary happens. And you say, well, it says there it was the apostles. Yes, but Jesus told the apostles to teach the people that you make disciples of to do everything that I've commanded you. So if they were doing miracles, they needed to be teaching the others how to do miracles. And they were. You see some of the others and other things happening. All the believers, it says, lived as members of one body and shared whatever they had with one another. Can I borrow your sandal? Speaking in tongues or asking for a sandal? You know, we share with one another. Someone needs help. I mean, it's one of the great things I have seen here is people are sharing together, doing things for one another, sharing skills with one another. Do you know when you go and fix somebody else's tap that's leaking, or you go and help paint somebody's house, it's just as spiritual as standing here with the music blasting and you're singing in tongues. It's just as much worship. It's just as much being church. But we've taken all of that out and made being church going to church. We've got to stop going to church. We've got to be the church. So they all lived as members of one body. You can read all about that in one. Paul wrote all about being one body. Look it up. They sold possessions and gave to everyone who was in need. You know, sometimes the church has an issue with tithing. Tithing is a concept that came in the Old Testament before the law, and it literally means giving one tenth. And I'm not doing a talk on tithing. But tithing is giving 10%, and it's a great guideline to evaluate what you're doing. But here they're giving everything. 10% should be our minimum. I know that's scary. And if you're a brand new Christian, you're thinking, how am I going to add that into my expenses? Well, you just got to make steps by faith. You know, if you're absolutely terrified, then you're not in faith, are you? So you need to ask God to forgive you for the fear of starting to give. And maybe you just do it in some steps. That's okay. Nobody here checks. But really, it's not just a tithe. We're giving. I mean, the possessions it refers to there is people were literally selling land and estates because they realized they didn't need them. Their materialistic attitude had changed. I don't need all that land anymore. I'm going to sell it and lay it at the apostles' feet. They didn't have to. Nobody had to do it. Nobody has to give. If you come and you never put anything in the bucket, if you've never made a standing order or you've never written the check, you're still welcome. Nobody's going to check up on you and say, "Oi, you." But you might want to check up on yourself because it reflects a lack of being one body that's there in your own spirit. And it's going to restrict what you're able to receive from God because you're not fully identifying with everybody. I'm not being like an American materialistic preacher that's saying, lay your hands on the screen right now. You know, that £10 you sold, that £100 you sold will come back. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. They shared. Shared doesn't necessarily mean giving it away either. It just means making it available. People that make a room available in their house for someone to stay in. You're worshipping God. You're sharing what you have. Sometimes you can charge them rent, sometimes not. It depends on the situation. There's no rule there. Are you getting anything out of this? This is what next. This is really being church. Hanging out here, that's being church. Hanging out at home, hanging out in your new place, that's being church. Let's just read on and check that it is. They shared whatever they had with one another. They sold possessions and gave to everyone who was in need. They continued to come together in the temple courts every day. Wow. One of the great blessings we have is we have somewhere we can actually just go to every day. Having this place open every day, except Mondays. Having this place open every day is more significant than you think. Because this is early church stuff, that there's a place you can just go to every day. Yeah. And you can meet with the other Christians. And it's just as important as Sundays. I know some of you live further away, and that's not so easy. That's fine. Don't make a law out of this. But they met in the temple every day. Use this place. Use it to meet others, to meet friends, especially not just Christian friends, but other friends as well. This is a God-ordained, anointed, Spirit-filled place. It's a great place to meet, and it's very biblical. You meet here for a coffee. You're doing early church stuff of just getting together. It's so important. And I think we've let it go. I meet with a bunch of friends tonight and we'll play games. That's really important. It's actually this word fellowship. Do you know what fellowship means? Being friends. Doing things that friends do. We call it fellowship and we get it dressed up. We had a sweet time of fellowship. Really? You were just good friends, were you? You had a nice cup of tea together with chocolate biscuits. prayer and sharing the word and sharing communion together is linked in with all of this. If you're just doing pure social and you never do the other side, you're missing part of it as well. But it's all just part of being church. And the more we learn to just be church, to share with one another, to give generously to one another, to sow into the work of the kingdom, the more other people's lives are going to be touched, the more they're going to have the opportunity for change. The more marriages that are going to be saved, the more children that won't be abused, the more people are going to get released from alcohol, the more people are going to get free from drugs, the more people are going to come out of debt. Not just because we had a prayer meeting, though we will have them, but also because we just got together and had coffee. We made sure our house was open for others to come to, and we would welcome them into our own homes. Because actually that's what comes next. They continued to come together in the temple courts every day. They also met in one another's homes. Why did God give you a home? So you could share it. To some people that's more challenging than others. But that's why you have a home. That you can use it to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, my husband's not a Christian. That's okay. My wife doesn't believe. That's okay. As long as they're up for it, if they're standing at the door saying, I'm not letting anybody in, that's a bit more tricky. But if you're having friends around just for a meal or for a cup of coffee, rather than just a prayer meeting, it might be a little bit easier to get it past the spouse anyway. And he might like your friends. He might think they're all right. And once friendship has begun, a door is opened. They shared the Lord's Supper and they ate their meals with glad and thankful hearts. So they were eating together in their homes. There it is again. Isn't it amazing that that is so central to this new church, that they were eating together in their homes? Isn't it a little bit awesome to think that getting together and having a meal is as important, perhaps even more important, than a Sunday service? Because if we don't do that, we just learn to be someone that sits on a chair and hears it. Because, I mean, you've got to take even this message and it's got to go wham. You've got to hear the word. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what this means to you. You think, right, how do I apply what I heard this morning? If you just hear stuff and don't do anything with it, it just flutters a bast and it doesn't feed you. You've got to think, right, what will I take from this morning and apply? There'll be something, or there might be lots of stuff, but there's something to apply to your life personally, or as a couple, or as a family. And then that will lead to mission or ministry. Because what we're discovering through this morning is having that cup of coffee at home, or going and playing games with one another, or going surfing, or going kite flying, or going fishing, that actually is ministry. Because it's about being church, not just going to it. Right? It's not clicky. It's not never letting anybody else come into that. We should always be open and inviting new people into that. That's the costly bit. Because it's easy just to be friendly with people we're friends with. And when there's always new people, then it grows. I'm just nearly at the end. So they were doing all this. So what were they doing? They were being taught. They were devoting themselves to being taught God's word. They were sharing lives. They were breaking bread. They were praying together. This led to a sense of awe. They were selling possessions and giving. They were coming into the temple courts every day. They were meeting in one another's homes. They were sharing the Lord's Supper. They were eating meals together with glad and thankful hearts. And this meant that they just praised God and were shown favor by everyone. And that's a really interesting little sentence. They praised God and were shown favor by everyone. You think it'd say God there. You see, when you live the church, you will see favor from everybody else because you will be making a positive difference in other people's lives. And if we're doing a wham on this, just that particular sentence, okay, this is the word, Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me? How do I apply this? Well, the application is that God will show, I will see favor from everyone. Expect favor. What's the mission? What's the ministry? When you see favor happening, give thanks for God and make the most of that opportunity. I don't know what the favor will be. It might be from there's a parking space to you got a good deal in the shop to you got a great job, to somebody giving you some money, to somebody being very kind to you. You know, it could be anything. But expect it. Thank God for it. Because it's in the Word. Don't go around with your head down saying, oh, I shouldn't expect that. I know, that's bad. I mustn't do that. That's like, that's materialistic. That's taking stuff. Look, the Word says you'll be shown favor. So you apply it to your life and you thank God for that. And if you live not expecting favor, then you're not in faith, so you're in sin. So if you've not been expecting to receive favor, you didn't. People say to me, why do you always seem to get such a good deal? Buying cars, buying houses, those are big things. I get so many good deals. What? I expect favor. And because I expect it, I'm there in faith for it, I get it so much. But it's for all of us. It's not just for me. Here, you have it. Isn't it cool? Expect favor. Expect decisions to be made that benefit you. Because God wants to bless you. And he blesses you through others as well. Even people that don't even yet know him. Which is kind of awesome. And every day, now because this was happening, it says that every day the Lord added to their numbers. And if you don't know, well, what does that mean, it actually then expressively says those who were being saved. In other words, if we do this, and really, it's not that hard. Some people have really spiritualized this passage and sort of made it seem impossible. I read numerous commentaries that said, this was then, it doesn't apply now. I can't believe it. It's foundational. But the reason they don't want it for now is they think it's too hard. It's not really. It's just living for one another. You can take it to extremes and say, oh, it's about communism. It's not about communism. It's just about sharing. And then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's do a wham on that one. What does the Word say? Well, the church was being added to every day. Holy Spirit revealed to me what this means. I don't think I need much interpretation on that one. Holy Spirit enabled me for this to happen. Apply the Word to my life. Apply the Word to our lives. Okay, are we ready to believe for people being added every day? Why not? It's there. Sometimes people have seen this and just think, well, that was then, that's a dream, that's not now. It's now. If we'll believe it, if we'll take hold of it, if we get a wham from the Word. Word, Holy Spirit, apply, ministry. If we apply that scripture, which means to take hold of it, so in your prayer time you're saying, Father, I thank you that our church is having people added to it every day. And the mission then becomes making the most of the opportunities God gives you with people you meet. Because that's how the people are added. It's the supernatural people that just get called. But most of it is the people of God living it out and making the most of opportunities. So, in a way, I've given you a very straight down the line talk. I haven't leapt around. I haven't given you a lot of excitement. This is just it. If we do this autumn, the church will grow. If we do this autumn, we'll be mightily blessed. If we do this autumn, we'll see miracles. We'll see wonders. If we do this autumn, we'll see healings. If we do this autumn, we'll be healed. We'll be blessed. Who's up for it? Good, that's six of us. When you go home this week, or this afternoon, if you like, read on. Because Luke, I've preached a lot from Luke's gospel, haven't I? And Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he doesn't change. He's very, very deliberate in what he does and the way he puts things. So you see the baptisms, so then he shows you, okay, you've been baptized, what's the church going to look like? So he writes it down for you. We've just done that. So then he gives an example of what then happens when people are living like that. And you get the whole example of Peter and John going to pray, and they meet this man who's been crippled from birth, and he gets healed. And then read on what happens. There comes a bit where they're not getting favor from everybody, but that's another story. But Luke takes what's happened and then shows you an example of Peter and John living this out. And you see that their faith is demonstrated in action. And one bit I want to take from it to finish, from that story, to finish everything that we've done today, is just a little thing that Peter says that a lot of you will know about. But and the interesting thing is this guy's, he's been lying there all this time. Jesus must have walked past him. Peter and John have walked past him. And then comes this day where there's this incident. Maybe Peter's moved by the Holy Spirit. Maybe this is the first time he's reacted in faith. I don't know. But on this particular day, the guy is begging for money, which would have been seen as his ministry, by the way. Because you ministered to God's people as a beggar, because it was regarded as of good merit and a good thing to give alms to the poor and beggars. So beggars would sit in invisible places so that when important people went by, or not so important people, they could give money publicly so people would think, what a godly person. We wouldn't do it like that now, but that's the way they were doing it then. And so he has got a purpose in the ministry at this moment, even as a beggar. So he's asking Peter and John for money, and Peter says, look me in the eye. Look straight at me. And the man did so, expecting to receive something from him. And Peter said to him, I don't have any silver or gold to give you, but what I do have, I give you now. Walk in the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth. He took the man by the right hand and began to pull him to his feet. Immediately his ankles were healed and made strong, and he jumped up and began to walk. And he went with Peter and John into the temple courts, walking freely and jumping about, praising God as he did so. Oh, it's a great picture of this guy leaping and jumping all over the place. Must have caused a right disturbance. When God moves, it often is a bit of a disturbance. It changes things. That guy's ministry was ruined. Interesting, isn't it? His ministry was ruined. He couldn't do it anymore. When God fills you with the Spirit and acts in your life, your ministry is often ruined because he's got such a bigger plan for you. Never restrict God to what you've got now. That's why I wanted to mention it before the end. And the other thing is that Peter says, I don't have what you want. There's lots of people out there, we don't have what they need. So we've got to give them what we do have. But when we give them what they do have, instead of sitting begging, sitting in the dust, they're going to be jumping and leaping around because what we do have is what they really need. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what I've got to give, you've got Jesus Christ of Nazareth to give. You've got the resources of the universe to give to others. And notice, he didn't say, I'll pray for you and ask Jesus to heal you. He spoke. Remember, we've talked about it before. Jesus didn't say, go and pray for the sick. He said, go and heal them. Peter was listening. He didn't go into a bit of karma sundering to get into the right mood. He just said, get up in the name of Jesus. And he took action. Faith is action. He reached out his hand. You don't need to get up. And pulled him up. Could have been embarrassing. Could have just fallen on his face because he couldn't stand. Just do it. Don't think I can't. You've got everything that Peter had. In fact, you've got more. Peter had only had 3 years with the Lord. A lot of you have had a lot longer. You're much better trained than Peter. You're much better equipped than Peter. Peter was only just learning to move in the Holy Spirit. If you've been saved 6 months, you've got more experience than Peter of moving in the Spirit. Wow. Shall we change the world? What do you think? Shall we change the world? Yeah. Let's have parties then. Let's have parties. What did Jesus do in stories? He kept telling them about parties. The prodigal son comes home. What happens? It's a party. God loves parties. Yes. There's a party going on upstairs. Every time someone gets saved, there's a party that happens in heaven. So they must be in one big, long, continuous party. It is the party that never ends. So have parties here. Hospitality is one of the most precious gifts there is. If you're good at having parties, you particularly have parties. Don't wait for somebody to come from the leadership and say, the Lord hath spoken to me. Thou dost have the ability to host many a joyful party. I give thee permission to have one every 5 years. Just do it. Just get on with it. Let's just be church. There were 3,000 of them. The apostles didn't know what was going on. I mean, don't get weird and wonderful and doing your own thing of independence. That's not going to bless you anyway, is it? There was the important thing. They were together as one body. It's not about, well, let's have a prayer meeting and let's do this because we won't be allowed to do this in church. Well, that's silly. You're just going stupid then, aren't you? You're gonna get yourself into trouble. Even, I'm not talking about into trouble with us, but if you're doing something that's deliberately, you know, what wouldn't be acceptable, you're going to end up in trouble. It's not going to work out well for you. But let's be one body. But yeah, have your prayer meetings. During days of favour. Wouldn't it be awesome? This is why I've deliberately not arranged anything during the day. Because the challenge is that others will. They might be leaders, they might not be, but others will. Let's meet for half an hour. Let's meet for 15 minutes. Let's meet for 3 hours. Let's just go and lie on the floor and soak in God's presence. Whatever. There's two spaces up there. You could probably pull the door across and do two different things if you want to. But it's about receiving the promises of God. It's about applying scripture so that we can perform the mission. Wham! Word, Holy Spirit, application, mission. It's what we're called to. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're with me on this Acts 2 thing, or you're just with us generally, you might be visiting today, but you think, yep, this is what church is. Let's stand together and give thanks to God for what he's going to do. Father, thank you for this word. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be able to get away from it. That you'd constantly remind us of this, being devoted to the teaching, studying your word, being in fellowship, being friends with one another, sharing meals together, praying together, having fun together. Father, just having this bigger picture of what it is to be church. Thank you, Lord, that we don't go to church. We are the church. Father, thank you that we are the ecclesia, the called out people of God. We're called out from the world to be the light in the world. We're called out from the world's practices to show the practices of God, to bring heaven here on earth as it is in heaven, to be living out heaven here on earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we can't do any of this ourselves. We want to do it all under your anointing. Father, we pray that we would stop this ridiculous distinction between sacred and secular and realize that everything is sacred, everything is spiritual if we're doing it in your name. If we're doing the things of God in your name, it is spiritual. And Father, I pray we'll have many spiritual events happening in this church just because people take initiative and just do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.